Every Woman is a feminist show that highlights the struggles, triumphs, and accomplishments of women and girls and the men who support them. Every Woman includes a rich intersection of female voices that represent a wide range of ethnicities, social and economic status, as well as political and spiritual beliefs, with the purpose to enact social, political, environmental, and economic change. The views and opinions expressed on Every Woman are those of the hosts and the guests and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, KKFI staff, board, or management.
Good afternoon, KKFI listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Every Woman, coming to you live from the world headquarters of KKFI here in Midtown, Kansas City. I am your faithful board operator, Rachel, and I am joined in the studio this week by Una. Hi there, Una.
Why, hello there, Rachel. Long time no see, since we were just on 10th Voice an hour ago. And ostensibly, you know, womaning the controls here, is that a real word?
That's, I'm making it is it now.
It is
yes.
Now. Yes, it is, everyone. The controls here for This Way Out and Wings. And it's rather warm today. It's nice because the studios have been freezing for a while. It's
they
not,
have been.
It's just, it's not that anything's defective, except maybe for the two of us. But just, you know, with this much exposure, it's quite cold.
Indeed.
You know, at least we don't have to build a campfire and like we did last week.
I know, we had to roll that barrel in here and it was a whole,
and the
was
wolves,
a whole situation.
The wolves were coming. I know they were.
Luckily, there's a lock on the control room door.
But we have a mouse that's joining us named Fiona, who is actually our lead hostess for this week. Hello, Fiona.
Hello, Una. I was thinking the wolves were just coming there because they were nice and warm and they could snuggle up to you and share body heat.
That would be some. That's what you would think of.
Right.
You're there in Cat and Dog Central, though, so you've probably got a Siamese by you and at least two dogs.
I'm hoping he won't start howling, demanding that I open the window up because it's warm and sunny outside. So don't tell him that it's warm and sunny outside.
Yes.
Very good.
We have a dog that howls at home, and I think I'm going to audition her for a show on KKFI called Aroo at Noon. What do you think? I'll send you a tape.
I think the concept needs development.
Okay,
but Fiona, why don't you tell us about our show for today?
Well, our show has a wonderful guest who was found for us by our wonderful co-producer, Angela Believes. And unfortunately, she can't be with us because of some personal matters happening in her life at the moment. But we all wish her well and look forward to her being back with us. And our wonderful guest she found for us is Monique Choey. And I am slightly at a loss for words to introduce Monique because when I look at her bio and her website, there are so many things that she has done and is interested in. She's a media coach and video marketing strategist with over 15 years of experience as a media personality and producer for television and radio. And I have to add in there that one of the pieces of experience that she's got is that she's a former person from KKFI who has volunteered and worked on MC's Guess Who's Coming to Kansas City show that we know and love so well and all wish MC well. And I'm actually going to stop talking about her and let her get a word in edgeways and talk about herself because she'll do it so much better. So Monique, welcome to Every Woman.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here. And, you know, I mean, first of all, I really like the chemistry you have going on, okay? So that's just, first of all, I just want to say that. But thank you so much. Yes, Mr. Richardson, very nice man. In the studio, you know, I learned so much from him. He just has a wealth of knowledge. So, yes, yeah, so I've definitely been in television, been in radio. So, but now I focus on entrepreneurs and helping them master their on-camera confidence and get a video strategy for their business. Because, you know, obviously, video is not going anywhere, especially with this pandemic and virtual this and virtual that. So I just really feel like, you know, now's the time to kind of, you know, gear up and master that on-camera confidence for your business.
I actually shared a joke earlier today, but I was still on mute and I thought I wasn't. I saw a cartoon saying that Zoom meetings are like modern day seances, with everyone sitting around looking at each other and going, I think Elizabeth's trying to join us. Come in. Are you there? And I wish all of our listeners could see, because you exude confidence and you look amazingly put together and just radiate confidence, and you have a wonderful quote behind you that says the best accessory a girl can have is confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yes, snap, snap, snap. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, actually, I had a training this morning, 3-hour training, so normally on Saturdays I'm just really kind of relaxed, but, you know, just kind of had to do something, okay? But also, my dad was a radio personality, too. I wanted to bring that in. He was a radio personality for different stations in Kansas City. He had, like, this James Earl Jones type of voice, you know, real deep and booming, and he did, like, you know, commercials and all of that stuff. So it's kind of, I just love this. I just love it.
So I was going to ask you about how you got interested in media, and so that obviously is a key underpinning that your father was in it, so you got to see it from an early age. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so his name was Honey Bear. Okay, that was his radio name. And again, you know, just several stations in the Kansas City area. And I really, honestly, you know, I didn't meet my father till the seventh grade. That's when I met my father. And before then, I always had a love for media. I didn't know why, right? I didn't know why. Just something about media attracted me. And then come to find out after meeting my father and learning about him, getting to know him, that's where it stemmed from. Actually was raised in Harlem. My mother, she's a fashion designer. She can make anything from scratch, okay? Anything you can possibly think of. And so that's where I kind of get my entrepreneurial spirit from, is my mom. She's been an entrepreneur for all of my life. So between my dad and media and my mom's entrepreneur, Here I am.
The schools obviously met in the middle with you. How did you find it growing up as, I'm assuming, a single-parent family for that time?
Mm-hmm. How did I what?
How was that for you? Because I grew up in a single-parent family, and so my mom did any of the maintenance and chores and anything that we had to do, she did. So I got to see a strong female character model for me without her even trying. How was that for you with your mom and her being an entrepreneur and fashion designer?
Yes. So, you know, New York City and Harlem, it's really like a lot of go, 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 go. And so I just grew up always seeing her, you know, just going for pursuing her dreams. She always still made time for me. She definitely... I actually had a good childhood. I didn't really, because I didn't have my father, you know, growing up as a young girl, I didn't really know what I was missing. So I just kind of felt like, okay, this is life for me. But it was definitely still a good life, you know. So for the single, you know, moms out there, you can still provide a good life for your children. And she definitely was a role model. She still made time for me, you know, and we are still very close to this day.
That's awesome to hear. I know a lot of single moms feel guilt that their single mom will feel that they can't provide everything. So that is good reassurance and a good call out to them all. So seventh grade, you got to know your father again and got to find out about that love of media. How did that change your life and where did you go from there?
So it really did change my life, because I'm like, oh, okay, you know, this is my father. Now I realize, oh, you know, this is where I get this habit from. This is why my arms are, like, really long, because his arms are long, you know. Oh, so I really started to identify things about myself that I didn't know why existed. You know, my mother is darker complected. I'm lighter complected. I didn't know, you know. So it was very eye-opening in learning more about myself, first of all. And then secondly, you know, after meeting my father and things like that, I went to school to become a news anchor originally. It's supposed to be broadcast journalism. I wanted to be on the news channel, whatever, you know, news. So I went that route with media.
How did you find that? Because even today I'm seeing a lot of reports online from female journalists of color who say that they have to be so amazingly awesome to even get a hint of a foot in the door. How did you find that, and how was that treatment?
Well, here's the thing. So initially that was my intention, to be a news anchor. But once I actually started taking classes, mocking like the news as if I was on the news, I kind of felt like it wasn't for me. I knew entertainment and media was, but not specifically a news anchor, because I just kind of felt, one, oppressed a little bit, because it's always something kind of, you know, negative. And then for me, I just loved entertainment. So for me, entertainment media was the way to go. So I got in contact with this young man, and he had an idea for a show. It was a Christian entertainment-based show. He needed a host, and I said yes, and that opened the door for me.
That's amazing, that change in direction and how the door just opened for you. Well, I'm seeing some signals about us having to take a station break. And do listen to our station break and stay tuned and come right back.
Support for KKFI by Contour MD and their mask donation campaign. As a family brand, Contour MD knows what it means to pull together and are currently matching up to 100 boxes of masks and other PPE per order to those serving our community. This means that each box purchased equals a box donated and delivered to a Kansas City outreach program. To participate and learn more, visit contourmd.com/mask-match.
Thank you. I wondered, how did you get from Harlem to Kansas City? Did the course that you were at shift you as you went to university? How was that journey for you?
Oh, good question. So my family, from my mother and her generation on up, is originally from New York, right? After my grandparents divorced, my grandmother moved to Kansas City. But then my mom moved back to New York, okay? Because my grandfather was still there, siblings still there. So how I got to Kansas City, I used to come down to Kansas City every summer because all of my girl cousins were here, okay? Love hanging with the girls. So all of my girl cousins were in Kansas City, so I used to come every single summer. Well, with this one particular summer, it was like the summer of a lifetime. That's what I call it. First little boyfriend, just a lot of firsts, okay? And so I called my mom and said, you know, Mom, I want to stay in Kansas City. And this, I was going to the sixth grade. So I want to stay. And you know what? Lo and behold, she started moving our stuff down from Harlem to Kansas City. And people always say, you moved from New York to Kansas City? What are you doing? What are you thinking? Well, yes, we did.
That's really impressive, especially as a fashion designer and all the access to venues and opportunities in New York that she chose to support you and uproot and come to Kansas City.
Now, what I didn't know is that she was actually going to leave me with my grandmother. I didn't know that. But then she decided to move on down. And so, yes, my mom has done well in New York. She was a teacher at Paseo. And so every year she would take her students to New York. They would have auditions and things like that. So we've been back. But, yes, so she we've been back. Yeah, we've been back. She didn't miss out on anything.
So we were just starting to talk before the break about your first break, how you got into media. Can you tell how that was?
Oh, it was great. So, and here's the thing. So, Philip, he was a friend of mine, and he was creating a show, a Christian entertainment show, where I would or the host would interview different Christian artists and, you know, film them and everything like that. And he needed a host. And so I say yes. It was my first paying gig right out of college. And I'm like, yes, $75 an hour. Well, not an hour, an episode. I'm like, yes, you know, I'm rolling in the dough. Okay. So it was so that's what, you know, we did. And so we traveled to different events. I would interview different artists. I mean, it was great. Again, it encompassed the entertainment part and the media part. And I just loved hosting the show. It aired locally here in Kansas City. It was on like the local channel, through like the least access channel. And it didn't matter to me. I loved it. But one thing I learned is being on camera. So I'm thinking I'm out there getting my Oprah on, and yes, you know, call Oprah. Hey, we have a new girl in town. And when I watched the footage back, I was like, oh, no, I stand like that? I sound like that? Oh, gosh. And so that's where the critique part came in, just critiquing everything, every little thing. And it really affected my confidence and how I came across on camera. But it wasn't until I took some steps, I said, okay, you know what? There are some things about us that we just cannot change, right? And so we have to accept it, embrace it, and move forward. And so that's why camera confidence and just having a presence on camera is important to me, because I know how it holds back some of us from really just getting out there. But I think people really want to know who we are authentically, and they're not even worried about the things that we're worried about, you know? So if you think something's too big or something's not big enough, people are not really concerned about that. They just want to know who you are. And so once I really began to realize that for myself and move forward, it was on. It was on.
So,
I think Rachel wants to ask.
Yeah,
a question.
I did that last statement you made hit home for me so much, because I'm fairly new at being on the radio, and I had a very similar experience when I started. I was like, you know, full of gusto and gangbusters, and I was so excited and happy, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just taking the world by storm. And then I would listen to the playback, and I was like, oh my, that's what I sound like. That's how I was phrasing things. So yeah, it's a definite learning experience, but it's so important though to sit back and listen to yourself and critique those things too, I think. Mm-hmm. And what you said about just, you know, using with what you have, and, you know, making access and of what you have to bring to the table and not worry about the things that you don't have is really important. Yeah, I love that.
Exactly. Oh, that's great. And I can, you know, say the same as far as like the voice thing. So I used to be in a singing group. And, you know, just hearing your voice back sometimes is like, oh, wow. So I definitely understand. But this is our voice. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I feel like it's really unique. They have TV shows, singing competitions that's focused on our voice. So it just goes to show how unique our voices are.
Yeah, I always feel that my voice sounds very flat and uninflected when I listen to it back, but no one else seems to feel that about me.
No.
So it's that discontinuity between how your voice sounds in your head and how it sounds when played back. And I've seen studies this year with the big focus on Zoom and Teams and other meetings online about how few people feel comfortable on camera, and particularly the studies seem to show that women are very unlikely to want to have the camera turned on when they're on a Zoom meeting, even though they would have been fine being in the office around people. So how do you help people and coach them past that?
Okay, that's a good question. So one thing I tell people is, one, it comes down to acceptance, right? Just accepting everything about yourself and just really embracing it. You know, regardless of if you feel like, again, it's too big, too small, not big enough, this is who you are, you know, and use that to your advantage. So that's one thing. The second thing I tell entrepreneurs specifically when they're recording video content is, don't think about it as you're speaking to the whole wide world. Oh my goodness, I'm going live and all the whole Facebook world is going to be watching. Oh my goodness. No, think about it as if you're just talking to one person. It helps you to feel more natural. You know, I tell people, hey, get a picture of a loved one and put it right next to the camera lens. So it's almost like you're speaking to that person, someone that you feel very comfortable with and at ease. And it helps kind of put you in a more relaxed, natural state.
I have read...
Yeah, that's a really good tip.
Oh, I've read online and seen some videos where people have suggested using different makeup, wearing specific clothes and colors because they pick up better on computer cameras, and arranging your background so that it looks like a movie set. Like yours is an immaculate background right now with your inspirational poster behind you and everything laid out with a little bit of greenery to one side and a globe, I think. Let me zoom in here. A globe to the other side. So you've got, okay, you know, we've got nature, we've got science, we've got everything. Is that something, I guess, that you teach as well? Or?
I do, because you know what, people are, and I found out that people are really concerned about their backgrounds, like they really are. And I'm just like, you know, this plant I got from Hobby Lobby, you know. So I just, you know, you could just put it together, but people are really concerned about that. So yes, I do coach them through, what do you have? What can we put together to make you feel comfortable on camera? I know sometimes, you know, people do the virtual backgrounds and the green screens, and I tell people, okay, if you're going to do a green screen, just make sure it's a green screen, because you don't want like half of your face in and then it's out, you know.
Yeah,
but yes, I do coach on that, because I know it's something that is important to people.
Wait, so that's not a real plant?
I think it is real.
No.
She prepped it.
Hobby Lobby.
So it's almost like a den of lies.
Exactly. It's so healthy and, yeah. And it was those of us with a black sun.
At least our cat wouldn't eat it. Actually, he probably would. Mm-hmm.
Our cat does tend to jump in front of the camera lens, and with the green screen background stuff, he'll flicker in and out of existence. It's like the Jackie cat. Appearing and disappearing.
Yes. Oh, sorry, I got us off topic.
That was good.
That's okay. It's a good topic, confidence and how we appear on media. You specified, though, how you coach differently for entrepreneurs from regular video presence. So what is the big difference there, and how did you get into that market and become an entrepreneur yourself?
Mm-hmm. Well, so you know, like I said, my mom, you know, she definitely was and still is an entrepreneur. So what happened was I had parted ways with a particular radio station. And so I was like, okay, so what am I going to do now? You know, what am I going to do? I've been hearing a lot about creating online courses, create an online course. And so I said, okay, well, I can create an online course about possibly starting a podcast, because, you know, what I do, what I did at the radio station was very similar as far as editing and stuff like that. So that started my business online. However, with that particular product, it really didn't go over well, because one, I didn't have a podcast myself, so how was I really going to tell somebody about it? You know, so it wasn't really in alignment. Once I actually got some coaching on my own and kind of did some soul searching, video is definitely where I needed to be. And so that started the video coaching with entrepreneurs.
And that's quite a big shift from appearing on other people's shows to being an entrepreneur yourself. Did you do a lot of preparation and planning, or did you just make that leap because of circumstances and timing?
You know, it was really because of circumstances and timing. But then I also did have some coaching as well, because, you know, just knowing about how to run a business, period, you know, let alone an online business. I mean, it was a lot to learn. And so having a coach really, really helped me. But, you know, video, of course, is, you know, is my first love. And so now I'm saying, okay, well, you can do a podcast, but how about a video podcast? You know, so I'm always trying to throw that in there somewhere. But, yes, definitely coaching and getting help myself, too.
Yeah, I think so many people have a little pipe dream of an idea of some business they'd like to do, whether it's retire and then go into it, or they'd like to leap straight into it. So coaching would be your key advice and encouragement to people there.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, sometimes people are, you know, they don't want to make mistakes. Well, you will, you know, but it's a part of the process. It's just a part of the growth process. So I just figured, you know, you got to get out there and do it. You know, my mom always said, live life to the fullest. So I think sometimes I'm a little bit too adventurous. But, hey, you know, I'm still alive. I have lived to see another day. So here we are.
I think that's important advice for everyone. So many people are afraid to make mistakes, whether it's their own inbuilt perfectionism or sometimes our society. It often encourages boys, when they make mistakes, to pick themselves up and go on and you can do it. But girls are sort of like, oh, well, you're a girl. We didn't really expect that much from you. And you're getting that message subconsciously all your life from people and become even more risk averse.
That's really good.
I'm curious. So you obviously coach folks on their camera presence, and you talked a little bit about, you know, backgrounds and things. Do you also give them tips technically on how to be well lit and like equipment and things that they might need too?
Yes, so I do have equipment suggestions. Here's the thing, I'm not very techie, okay? I'm really not. So I like to keep my setup as simple as possible. So yes, that is a question that comes up often. So I give people a list of, you know, tools that they can use, of equipment and things like that. But I keep it very simple. Webcam, ring light, microphone. You know, and yes. That's just my setup, and it works very well.
No, I mean, that's very true. Sometimes the simplest thing is absolutely the best thing, especially if you're not very technically inclined. You want something very simple that's just going to, you're going to sit down and it's going to work. But it's also so important, because you could have all the camera presence in the world, but if we can't see you and we can't hear you well, it doesn't work.
Yes. Now, I love lighting. I tell people, please, you know, we need to be able to see you. You're on video, right? So get a ring light, or, you know, even natural light. Make sure the sun is coming this way, because it's going to be a shadow if it's the other way, right? So I do let them know, give them some tips on that, because that sometimes the tech part is a hang-up. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the tech part does stop people from, you know, showing up on camera. So I definitely have to make it simple for them, simple enough to where they can say, oh, yes, okay, it's not as complicated as I thought. I can do this.
So, having touched briefly on the tech part, how did you grow your brand and get people to listen to you and see you as a source of experience to let you coach them?
Oh, good question. So I started what I've learned. You know, I started going live. I started putting out content and showing up consistently. Just showing up consistently, answering questions. I love, you know, live video has really kind of changed a lot, you know. So that's what I've used, just different social media platforms on it. Now, initially, I was scared to go live. You know, I felt like, oh, wow, you know, what am I going to say? What's going to happen? I push this live button and then what, you know. But once you kind of get going, it does get a little easier. So that's how I started going live. I started creating content that was helpful. I started learning about the people that I wanted to help, what their issues were, and created content to address those particular issues. And so they started downloading my free stuff and just kind of started, okay, I'm kind of getting to know, or this is helpful. And then over time, it just built and it grew. And now, you know, I do have clients that I work with regularly.
That's awesome that you've been that successful and managed to grow your brand and get recognized. I think that tip about the regular content is very important, because so many people start a blog or a podcast and they do regular updates for a week or a month and then peter out. It's quite a commitment.
Right. And I said, okay, so you can't tell me I went live 2 times and then nothing happened. Well, 2 times? People don't even know that this is something that you do. You know, you have to give it time. I say 90 days, 3 months. Just give it 3 months. And from there, then let's make an assessment from there. But yes, you can't, you know, being consistent, a lot of times this is a long game, right? This is a long game. You have to be in it and be committed. Definitely be committed.
I think that's a good tip for people. Anyone that's got that pipe dream or that wishes to get into media, to plan for 3 months. And aim and remember that they're going to have to take time.
Mm-hmm. It does. It takes time to grow and build. You know, there's, you know, people will say, oh, overnight, or, you know, this just happened so quick. It doesn't happen like that for a lot of people. It is a building process, and it really shows, you know, okay, so how committed are you? You know, you really get a chance to really see how committed you are to what you say that you want. And then, of course, you know, you have days where you kind of feel discouraged, or maybe you didn't get as many viewers on live that you expected, and so now you're like, I don't want to do this. You know, nobody's watching. But what I tell people is, one, you will get more replay views than anything. Okay, so that's the first thing. And then secondly, focus on attracting the right people. Whether it's, you know, 100, you would rather have 100 of the right people that you could serve versus 300 of people that are not even really your target audience, you know? So just focus on the right people. And so that's just a mindset shift that kind of helps for them to make.
Do you have any tips on how to get the word out that it's like, okay, I want to do a podcast, I want to go live. How do I let people know that that's happening? And how do I get those 100 right people?
Right. So Canva, or, you know, I say first create a graphic, you know, post it on social media, post it in different social media groups, on particularly Facebook. There's a group for just about everything. Okay, anything that you can possibly think of, there's a group for. So that is where if that's where your people are, let them know about it. So that's the first thing, letting people know on social media, through your Facebook or Instagram stories, whatever social media platform that you're on. And a lot of times, you know, let friends and family know, because a lot of times those are like your first supporters for most of us. So, you know, if you're live and they can pop on and then they share, that's another thing. People sharing it out, that you're going to be doing something. And then you show up, and you show up consistently. So that's the main thing. You have to let people know where your target audience is. And if you have an email list, that's another place that you can let people know, for the people that are on your email list.
I think that target audience focus is a good tip, because I've been in lots of Facebook groups where it gets spammed by some guy trying to sell sunglasses, where it's totally not at all a sunglasses-related group or anything. So finding that market and the appropriate people to share with must be quite a big first step for people.
Yes, you don't want to go spamming groups now. Some groups, they have like specific days where you can promote stuff, but you don't want to go spamming the group. But yes, it is it's a big first step, just letting people know about it. And it's the nervous excitement that you experience, but it's a good thing.
Nervous excitement probably is a constant state for people when they're going on camera, especially the first few times. Mm-hmm. How do you coach people to deal with that? Because when you're nervous, people often speak faster and are more likely to fumble. So what tips do you have to give people confidence and get them through that first rush?
Okay, so I tell people, if you happen to ramble and things like that, talk fast, I say embrace the power of the pause. Okay, just pause. Just pause. And I know, like, pausing on radio was like, it feels like 2 hours, right? But, you know, on camera, just pause. And it gives your audience a chance to digest what you're saying, and it gives you an opportunity to slow down, right? And so you can kind of catch up with your own self. So that's what I say. Embrace the power of the pause. That's one thing that I tell them to do.
Yeah, none of our listeners could tell, but all three of us hostesses were sitting here nodding fervently when she was saying about how it feels like 2 hours on radio to the pause.
Yes, radio silent, it just feels like it's an eternity on radio. But on camera, it's different because you're seeing them, you know, mm-hmm. it's just different on camera. But that's what I tell them. Just, you know, just pause. Take a breath. And then just kind of slow yourself down. Because, you know, your nervous system is just kind of firing off. So it just have like a lot of nerve energy going on. And so once you just kind of center yourself, it begins to kind of calm down. And pausing and breathing definitely helps with that.
It seems to be difficult. I'm on video calls all day long, and that pause is sometimes it just seems awkward to me. I think, you know, it's because everyone's just staring at you waiting, and you're seeing all their faces on the screen looking. I almost feel like men would have an advantage because they could like take out a pipe and start, you know, tapping the tobacco and looking thoughtfully up at the air, you know, like they're pontificating. But I'm just sitting there saying, oh my goodness, what am I going to say now? But I see the point of just taking that breath and say, well, you know, oh my goodness, what am I going to say? What am I going to say?
Yeah, well, there is a like, power to the stillness when you're on video.
Then sure. You respond back with the typical psychologist answer of, what do you think the answer is? You know.
That's true. I think that's one of the things that you learn if you watch anyone who does this professionally being interviewed all the time. They tend to have a phrase that they'll use to buy themselves time to think about the question. Like politicians often say, I'm very glad that you asked me that, and that lets their brain have time to scramble to and pull up the correct facts and how they really want to word and angle things whilst not giving a giant pause and looking like they're caught flat-footed. Mm-hmm. You have people, do you recommend particular mantras like that to people, or do you think that they should go with the flow and come up with whatever time-buying phrase works best for them?
You know what? I like to go with the flow. I like to go with the flow because that's real and that's authentic. You know, a lot of us, we do kind of sometimes we may trip up on a word. You know, sometimes, you know, things may not come out as smoothly as we would like, right? And that's just human nature. So I just like to go with the flow. But I do tell people, like when prepping specifically with interviews, of course, there is a way that, you know, you can prepare yourself for interviews, right? You can prepare as the interviewee. You can prepare yourself. So I do like to prep them on that so they just won't be cold, right? They just won't just be cold with coming up with answers. But really, once you prep, I just feel like you can just kind of go with the flow. I feel like that's really natural and authentic, and that's what people like.
And when you mentioned interviews it occurred to me, although the standard interviews, like this type of interview, so many people have gone through job interview preparation, but they haven't had the extra focus and skills on, now you're doing that by Zoom and remotely. How do you integrate that and come across as natural on video for a job interview? So do you have any tips for people there?
Well, what I would say is, one, I'm kind of big on this, right? When it comes to being on camera, the angles, right? So, you know, you don't want, you know, everybody seeing up your nose in the sky, right? So first, look directly in the camera. It's going to help you connect with that person on the other side. It's going to just kind of center everything, right? And then, as we talked about, what makes you feel good as far as having the background, I mean, if that makes you, that mm-hmm. makes you feel good. And we talked about pausing. We talked about letting, just being natural. So when it comes to, you know, job interviews and things like that, the camera angle, it just makes a difference. It just makes a difference with the camera angle. And you would approach it with the same way. You would prepare, right? Because you would know some background about the company. So you would prepare in that way, and you would go for it.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel the camera angle is very important, and I personally hate my laptop because the person that designed it must have had a fetish for chins or something, because they put the camera at the bottom of the screen, and it is the only one I've ever seen that did that. So I feel as I end up with a giant chin when I'm on camera.
It's kind of like it's kind of like the same rules for taking selfies. I mean, I take really good selfies. I think Rachel and Fiona will, and it is all about the angles, just like you said. It's not just the height of the camera, but how you tilt it and the position of your face from side to side just very slightly can make a difference. And you know, people are like, well, how did you learn this? Of like, well, everybody's face is different. You need to take hundreds of selfies of yourself in different light and see what puts your best foot forward, metaphorically speaking. I mean, we're talking about faces, but you know, your best foot forward.
Best face forward.
Best face forward. Yeah.
I take really good selfies, and people will actually come up to me at like a nightclub and say, can you show me how to do selfies like you do? Like, okay, sure.
Wow. Go.
I say, that's your $1 million idea. Maybe you should start a podcast.
No. Selfies with
It
has
to be a video podcast,
Of course.
No, show and demonstrate.
I think that's excellent advice. It really does put your best face forward. And let's see. Speaking of that, we have a break, a short station break here that is coming up. Let's go ahead and go to that so we can spend some nice uninterrupted time with our guest closing out. So we'll be right back in just 30 seconds, a minute. Surprise me.
Surprise. And we are back. I'm Rachel. I'm putting my best voice forward here on the Every Woman program. And I'm going to send it back to Fiona and her conversation with Monique.
Well, it's all of our conversation with Monique.
Best face forward.
Actually, I think it was Rachel that came up with best face forward.
Yeah, but you ran with it. Yeah, so that's
Rachel.
But
I ran with it. Okay, sorry, Rachel.
I think this interview is actually honestly, my opinion is that this interview is overdue, because I think the advice and the tips that you've given us really would have helped early on. I wish that we had known and benefited from some of your advice and wisdom earlier in this process. I think that would have helped me on a lot of conference calls. So I've learned quite a lot just today, and I hope our listeners, well, they certainly have. Both of you out there, I hope you've learned a lot. It's just a joke.
Thinking of learning a lot, how can people get in touch with you and find you on social media and make sure that they can continue to learn and share?
So they can go to MoniqueSharay.com/hello. MoniqueSharay.com/hello. And on there, you can download, and we talked about those tech tools. You can join my social, my Facebook group. All my social media handles are on there. I'm pretty much on Facebook, a little bit on Instagram, and on YouTube. MoniqueSharay.com/hello. That's where you can find me.
And Monique Charay is
spelled... could you spell that, please?
I was going to.
Sure. Monique is MoniqueE, Charay, SHURRAY. So MoniqueSharay.com.
Thank you. So for podcasts and video podcasts, how do you get people to find a focus and choose a topic? Because that can be a really hard issue. I mean, like our show is focused on feminism and items of interest to women everywhere. But that could be a huge, wide range of things. So how do you get people to find what's important to them and what they can communicate best?
Oh, good question. So in the workshop that I did this morning, it was entrepreneurs. I said, okay, you have three different pillars of content, like three things that you always talk about, like overarching topics. And from there, you create subtopics. So once you create those subtopics, it can go on and on and on, but it all kind of angles and focuses back on that overarching topic. So, and for example, one of the ladies, she deals with teenage girls, how to help them have healthy self-esteem. And I said, okay, well, one of the things that you could talk about, so an issue for sometimes teenage girls is self-image, right? So that could be an overarching topic. You can talk about different social media, you know, they like to be filtered and things like that. And so maybe some girls maybe feel like they don't measure up because they don't look like an Instagram model. Well, the Instagram model doesn't even look like the Instagram model, okay? She doesn't even look like that. So you can talk about that. You can talk about bullying, right, and how to handle bullying. So maybe that. So it's all about having, I say, three core overarching topics and then creating subtopics from that. But it's all kind of closely related.
Thank you. That's wise. Mm-hmm. Because it's so easy to spend your effort and fritter things away and get distracted and everything just filters away into the sand and you end up with nothing.
Right. But if you know that, you know, this is what you talk about in your, you know, on your show, on your podcast, then, you know, you always have some content pieces there. And it's always relevant to what you talk about. It's always relevant.
One thing for entrepreneurs that I see being very common is that so many of them, if they are female, tend to not be taken seriously or given grants or funding from investors. And especially as a black female, I suspect you face challenges. So how have you overcome those? Do you have a support community? What do you recommend people do?
Well, you know what? There are grants specifically for women, right? So we just have to do like some of the digging and find out, okay, well, what grants are specifically for women. But I do agree with you, sometimes they don't want to take women seriously, or, you know, they're not looked upon as, you know, real business owners. And I think for that, we just have to continue to show up as our best selves, right? And some things we just have to, I don't want to say demand, but then I do want to say demand. We just have to make it clear that, okay, no, this is who I am, right? This is my business. I'm definitely qualified. You just have to make that known, either for your content, for your presence. I mean, just you have to make that clear.
Thank you. And we don't have very much time left, so I do want to thank you so much for being with us today. And if you could give everyone your contact details again, and then whatever last thoughts, ideas you'd like to share with people, please.
Okay. So first of all, thank you, ladies, for having me. And contact info, MoniqueSharae.com/hello. MoniqueSharae.com/hello. I just want women to feel empowered, be confident. You can do this. You can absolutely do it.
Oh, thank you. It's been uplifting and wonderful having you join us today.
I really learned a lot.
And I'd
in
like
this.
To also thank.
Yes.
Go on, Una.
I was just going to say, I really learned a lot. Like I said, I wish I would have known some of these tips earlier. I wish. No, where's our time machine?
Oh, it's in the back. I'll have to go get it. I'm sorry. I'm out of plutonium.
No, thank you very much, Monique, for being on. I thought this was very, this really was very instructive.
Yeah, and inspirational. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you, ladies.
And thank you so much for tuning in to this week's edition of Every Woman. Stay tuned. Donna Wolf and Urban Connections is next. Thank you.